Welcome to ITAD Talk and part two in this series. Here is your host, Jeff Bittner.
That actually leads into the next question that I had for you is, why do companies become ISRI members, and what are the benefits of membership?
Well, besides getting to listen to me, which is just a thrill in itself, they probably should get a refund on that one. But, as I said, our safety program, if you know anything about having someone walk through your facility and give you a safety audit, that paid for your membership at ISRI a couple of times. If you ever had the OSHA or someone or the EPA show up and hand you a couple of fines for some minor things or even big things, ISRI's safety program and environmental compliance program probably could have helped you avoid that. And that paid your ISRI membership for many, 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 many years. The other is that if you want to have any influence on things like the right to repair, the R2 standard, tax policy, transportation policies, any type of other compliance with EPA, I could go on and on. If you want any influence on that, not just hearing about it and finding out what's going on, but to actually be able to influence it, then you want to be an ISRI member. When I mentioned the R2, we had the ability in the infrastructure package to be able to put things in there and also to help keep things out of there that might not be the best things on earth that you would want to have, that you'd want in the infrastructure bill that would apply to the recycling industry.
That's great. That sounds like a lot of important benefits.
Yeah, there's an old adage, and people say, well, it's going to happen, or, this or that, or I'll figure it out when it comes to me and all that. In Washington, there's an old saying, you either are at the table negotiating and trying to figure out what's going on, or you're on the menu. Mm. And it's a lot better to be at the table than on the menu.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And, I interviewed both Reich Sandlin and Craig Boswell for the ITAD Talk podcasts, and they both mentioned their involvement in ISRI. Can you speak to mm-hmm. their impacts and how ISRI is a forum for networking among industry leaders?
Oh, yeah. Well, Reich was one of the, he's going to be modest about it, but he chaired the Rios board. He was on the R2 TAC for a long, long time. He probably feels it was a lot longer than it actually was. So he's instrumental in the standards development process. Absolutely, the VIP of them all for that. He also runs responsible for, whether he knows it or not, for our education and training program for the division. He helps with our, we're having something at our commodities roundtable next week. We have participated eScrap, the ITAD summit, as well as our convention. We participate at things at the consumer technology or consumer electronics show. And he runs that. He makes all the trains run on time. It comes up with lots of great ideas and corrals all the cats to make this thing happen. Craig has been the chair of our division, electronics division now, coming up on, I guess, a year and a half, a little bit more than a year and a half. He was basically the vice chair for 2 years before that, under George Hinkle, who was our chair and really a refounding member of the division as it changed over really from being a recyclers group to a more of an ITAD group. It was obvious when he came in that we started talking about IoT, ITAD, ITAM, a lot of acronyms that nobody in the recycling industry had ever heard of. And we started under Craig's leadership, really started to branch out and handle, issues with lithium ion batteries, right to repair and reuse and things like that, and building relationships with a number of the OEM associations like CTA, ITI, CTIA, And was responsible for helping build out the CTIA repair standards for them, for cell phones and such. All three of those guys, and then we have a whole, we have a big list of leaders in the industry who are on that division that meet regularly. You know, if there are too many names, too many of the companies, but there, we have the who's who of everybody there. Data protection, data privacy, data destruction is also, I'd say, you know, one of the hot topics that's going on. And what's fascinating about what has happened with the influx of technology, digital technology, edge computing, and all these things with 5G that are coming in, our regular sort of, you know, run of the mill, the recyclers, the guys that people think of ISRI as, the guys that shred cars and, you know, refrigerators and stuff like that, they're finding themselves actually in the in some cases in the ITAD space, because the cars are nothing but computers on wheels and they're data collectors. And more and more and more people are figuring out that when they plug their phone in to their car is recording a lot of information about them that they may not necessarily want anyone else to have. So our even our car recyclers and such like that, and, you know, your smart refrigerators, and they are becoming, you know, who normally are not taken care of by ITAD companies, but our recyclers are actually our regular recyclers are actually becoming, in a way, ITAD companies, whether they like it or not, and by default. So it's a pretty exciting time as materials change. And quick little story about it is, when I took over the division a number of years ago, the big issue was, and this is sort of what drove us to this point, we were looking at products were getting smaller and smaller, and there was less and less material and less value in the material itself. So electronics recyclers, who were in the, you know, primarily in the shredding business of recycling products, you know, we're looking for, well, this isn't working, going to work anymore. How do we survive? What do we do? Well, that was the perfect transition for not only the industry, but ISRI itself, to shift into the ITAD world. And so that's what we've done. And that's been, I don't know, about 6-7 years ago. So we've done just a very poor job of marketing it, but we're trying to improve that. But as people like Reich's former company, and Reich, and you know, Craig Boswell is a perfect example of that shift himself. But more and more companies, Blanco Technologies is in our in the division because of the data security, data destruction. You know, Sims Recycling Services. I mean, it's on and on. You know, we have the who's who of the companies: Dynamics, Sun King. It goes on and on.
Nice. So one other question I want to ask you about. So I heard that you love being on the water and have a boat on Chesapeake Bay. Can you share what that's like and what draws you to it?
I've been a sailor for most of my life. It started when I was about 9. And so, you know, it's somewhat relaxing. It's challenging. And it, you know, sort of refreshes you to go back in and fight for ITAD companies.
Yes,
it gets me away from tax policy as well.
I'm sure when you get out there, you kind of have to focus a little bit on what you're doing. And so it kind of can transition you from the work environment, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at everything from tides and wind and waves and weather and things like that. And, you know, one of the things that was fascinating when we had a number of companies when I first took over the division that, you know, we recycle anything that's and refurbish and resell lots of things that are electronics. And they're not just telephones and tablets and stuff, but there's a lot of marine products, from GPS and depth finders and things like that. And they are also just their technology. Hmm. And I would expect that a lot of people who are in the business, you know, who are in the boating world and all of that, are starting to think about that type of material. What's the best way to recycle it? and reuse it, get some value back out of it. Because as people turn in their GPSs and such like that, you know, they spent, you know, $2,000 for a marine version of it. It's, you know, they're, you know, what do I do with it? I've got this newer version that came out 5 years later. What do I want to do with it? Well, there's a resale market for it. So I could get, you know, a few hundred dollars for it. Well, a few hundred dollars is better than nothing.
Right. As long as the data is wiped off and everything, right?
Yeah. Mostly, because it's fascinating when people sell boats, that technology and all the information goes with it, and people don't usually think about it, and there probably isn't too much, you know, I mean, I don't really care that people know where I'm kind of driving around because I'm not going too many places, but just say that you were doing some nefarious things, you probably wouldn't want the FBI to have that nice tracking information on you.
Right.
So you have a car with your phone and it's tracking you all the time and people are very worried about it. When you're on the water, you kind of appreciate the fact that somebody might be tracking you and know where you are.
Yeah, that's true. Very important.
It's kind of the reverse.
Especially if you break down out there, huh? Well, that's great. Yeah. Well, hey, I really appreciated your time this morning, this afternoon. Is there anything else that you want to add that you think that we've missed or not covered?
You know, the one of the issues that we're going to be dealing with, I mean, we led the effort for the digital unlocking with the Copyright and Patent Office, and we've just achieved a lot out of that. That's something that we didn't talk about, but that's a big reason why bulk unlocking of cell phones and tablets and stuff like that, as well as modems, and it's going to expand into, you know, laptops and things like that are occurring. We have an ongoing project of trying to kind of, you know, break that door open as often as we can. The second is basically the first sale doctrine, or the right to resell, as I like to call it. That's an issue that we're also addressing, because a lot of people who were, you know, getting products in and then trying to resell them are being getting issued cease and desist orders by different groups, OEMs and such, saying you can't sell my product. Even though they, you know, the recycler owns it, there's no, you know, there's no liens attached to it. Contracts have expired and everything else. It is their product to resell. And so we're looking at ways to deal with that as well, to try to preempt a lot of that. And last but not least is certainly the right to repair issue. And real quickly about that is that we have a slight difference in the whole concept of right to repair. And one of the things that we like to point out is that in the ITAD, ITAM world, your job is to collect these products, buy them, repair them, destroy data on them, provide a number of services to both the person selling it to you as well as the person that's buying it from you. And along the way, you're following all types of rules and regulations, primarily safety and environmental. And that it's very important that what you're doing it that way. On the other hand, the right to repair is a very large and broad issue, where you have it's basically being portrayed as a way for any individual to be able to kind of fix, you know, a cell phone or a tablet or what have you. And I can tell you that I am not qualified to do it. And it's worrisome, because there's a lot of people that might try, and they could end up not only damaging the product, and so then therefore who would be responsible for that, but they might also harm themselves and their physical property, because you're dealing with the batteries and things like that that could catch on fire or even explode. And who would be responsible for that? And then last but not least is, as you were putting these products back into the marketplace, have you altered them in a way with a battery that is, isn't a up to snuff? You know, it's not the right battery. It's not a good enough battery. Or have you altered something along the way, accidentally, inadvertently, that would change the broadcasting or something like that with the product itself and make it unusable or disturb other people? That's the That's the favorite in FCC word, is you can't disturb other frequencies. And so there's a lot to consider with that. You know, while on the surface it sounds, oh yeah, we should be able to do that. I would like to fix that. On the other hand is, yeah, if you are, if you're qualified, you know, if you know what you're doing, and you're willing to accept a lot of the risks. And I don't think most individuals are really aware of the risks, especially when considering the danger of lithium ion batteries. And they may try to also, in trying to make it easier to repair in that way, they may actually put a damper on innovation by the manufacturers themselves. And so trained people should be eligible to get the OEM parts and be able to repair and resell the products when they legally own them. And I think that's going to be something we're going to be working on over the years with not just with our good friends at ISRI members, but with the OEMs, like the Apples and the Samsungs and HPs and Dells and such like that, because those companies want the sustainability effort. They also want to protect their intellectual property, and they also don't want to be responsible for someone like little Johnny who's repaired their phone in their parents' kitchen and accidentally caught their house on fire.
All right.
So there's a lot to unpackage there, as well as just the software licenses and things like that. That the ITAD companies are very, very cognizant of staying within the laws of all those intellectual property and licensing agreements. So we've got a lot going on, and especially as the convergence of all these technologies start to happen even faster and more, with new products coming on the market, it's constant innovation, and it means constant change for recycling and ITAD and ITAM companies.
Great. Well, I really appreciate all the work that you're doing. And once again, we know we'd like to thank you for being on the ITAD Talk Show. And our guest was Billy Johnson, the chief lobbyist of the Institute for Scrap Recycling Industries. So we really thank you for your time this afternoon, and we'll look forward to speaking to you soon again.
Well, thank you very much. And I encourage everybody to go to our website and check us out. Feel free to give me a ring as well. My email is bjohnson@isri.org. Pretty simple. And we'd love to have you learn more about ISRI.
And don't forget, the best way to support ITAD content is to rate and like the show on iTunes, Google, Spotify, or anywhere you might listen.